Welcome to Massonomics, the world's strongest podcast. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Massonomics. Make sure you go visit Massonomics.com. There you'll find the rest of our powerful content. While you're there, check out our store and buy yourself some of that sweet Massonomics gear.
It'll kind of be a surprise.
Hey, speaking of surprises, everybody, we are actually rolling right now. We have special guest. Just kidding. This is just Tommy sitting next to me here,
hey, Tommy.
Right?
Hey, how's it going?
Actually,
what does he say? What's going on?
What up? What up?
What up?
We have Tommy's brother. We have the handsomer of the DeFays.
Thank you.
Is that arguably handsomer?
I don't think there's anything to argue about. I think it's just the way it is.
I don't know. It just depends on what you're into.
That's true. Yeah.
Some ladies aren't into the height, or the height, and some maybe aren't into all that hair.
I'm sure there's some people that don't find either one of us attractive, you know? It could happen. I don't know.
I'd find that pretty hard to believe.
Okay, well, coming from two guys, two men.
We just like to watch you lift. So,
thank you.
In a weird way, but
yes.
Last time you were here, the studio was upstairs.
Yeah.
There was no video.
And now we're downstairs, so
we can look really uncomfortably into the camera.
Yeah.
There we are.
There it is.
So that's what we look like.
Pretty sweet.
If you're watching this on YouTube, hello. If you're listening to this, check it out on YouTube. And if you think we're ugly, go back to listening to this. And you having trouble there?
Oh, I had it.
You're good now?
In too far. It's good now.
If you haven't heard, I would say we have this problem every single episode at least once. Mm-hmm. That we have
the headphones.
Our stuff only. I have like half my cords are the wrong cords, so we'll only get one ear in our headphones until we sort of unplug the headphones just a little bit. Mainly because
really
we don't
sweet spot.
Yeah. Mostly because we don't spend any actual money on this podcast at all. So.
What?
Well, yeah, no one's buying our shirts.
Speaking of buying our shirts, go to Massonomics.com and buy some of our shirts.
With money.
With your parents' money.
Yeah.
We don't really care whose money
it is. Your paper out money.
Steal someone's credit card.
Yeah. Why not?
So
identity theft never hurt anyone.
Never.
Speaking of identity theft.
You just got back from Mexico.
I just got back from Mexico. And I'm going to cancel all my credit cards now.
Oh, no.
No, I don't have any issues there. But I did just spend a week in Mexico and a day and a half in the Atlanta airport. So
what part was more fun?
The best way to end any vacation?
I think I've explained the travel arrangement before, right? Where my wife works at the airport, so we can only fly when there's open seats. So there was no fucking open seats anywhere. So traveling that way, like you can spend 6 days in just wonderful relaxation and have a wonderful time. And then when you're done, just getting home can fucking ruin all of it. You know, you can come home worse off than you were. And we were real close.
Yeah.
Real close. We ended up flying to Wisconsin like late last night and then got up super early and were able to get to Minneapolis and then back home. So, but Mexico's pretty awesome. It's also kind of shitty in some places, but the beaches are pretty sweet, and the beer was pretty cheap too.
What about Taco Bell? Is the Taco Bell very good there?
What's better there, Taco Bell or Taco John's?
That is true. It could be regional.
I think
kind of thing.
You know what I just forgot, guys?
That West Mex. It's maybe a little more Mex in Mexico.
Yeah. I didn't notice it until I turned it off, but my furnace has been running this entire time.
It's been loud as shit. Yeah. I take my sweatshirt off. It's getting kind of hot.
I'm gonna turn that off while you guys talk about the argue between Taco Bell and Taco John's.
I was just gonna say, oh look at me. My name is Tyler. I control my furnace from my cell phone.
Yeah. What is that?
I wish.
What year are we in here? 2030.
It's the Jetsons. Do you have a robot made?
May or may not have a bit of a background in heating and air conditioning.
Do you work for Spacely Sprockets?
I don't know anything else about the Jetsons, so I don't know.
That was it.
He has a dog name.
What's the dog's name?
Elroy. I don't know if that's the son or the dog.
That's the son, okay. Isn't it? I think. I don't know. I haven't seen that show in like a long time.
It's a lot better than the Flintstones, though. What do you like better, Jetsons or Flintstones?
I don't know. I haven't seen either one. I watched the Flintstones movie, like the live-action movie, not too long ago. And
you mean like the 1997?
John Goodman.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Is that the one with Rick Moranis?
Yep. And then Rosie O'Donnell and Kyle, what's his face? Kyle MacLachlan. He's like the bad guy, I guess you could say. Like Halle
yeah,
Berry.
He,
Halle Berry's
yes,
his secretary.
Yeah, yeah. His secretary.
Yeah, right. But
good movie.
God, just not good at all. You just like when you it's like one of those movies when you're a kid, like, oh, this is cool. And then you get older and you watch it and you just how did I ever like this? It sucks.
What about another movie that just came out on Netflix? Heavyweights.
Oh,
that holds up,
that
doesn't
is,
it?
Yeah,
I would say that's even better. Just yeah. And not that the humor is even very, you know, mature or anything. Like, there's just some stuff as a kid, I'm like, that's funny. And then, like, watch it again. Like, this is so stupid. Like, when he's like, in the beginning when he gets to the camp and he's like, I snuck in some Oreos. I'm like, oh, okay.
Download. Chipmunks, download.
Yeah. And then it's like all these kids just scrambling and putting this candy away and all these like hiding spots. And then the kid, hey, kid, get over here. Get these salamis off my back. And he's just like deli meats taped to his back. It's
do
like,
fat kids even want like just like warm deli meats?
A salami? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's a treat.
Yes. The answer is yes, yeah. They do. That also, I think that is as funny of Ben Stiller in that as you're ever going to find.
Yes, and we were talking about that the other day. Like, the character in that movie and then the character in Dodgeball are basically the same guy.
Yeah, he really is. He's like, oh, just be that guy I was 6 years ago? Okay,
yeah,
I'll do
like
that again.
Like some fitness expert that's just crazy and just and terrible with people.
He wasn't big, but he was, versus now, I was like, wow, Ben Stiller was kind of ripped.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
I was a little bit surprised. He looked pretty athletic.
Yeah, like.
But yeah, that is the funniest Ben Stiller that you're going to.
I think for sure.
It doesn't ever get better than that. You know?
I love the part when like they're introducing him at the beginning and he comes out and he's like, being homeschooled my whole life, this is actually my first time interacting with children. It's like, what would make a person even want to run a camp like that? It's like, it just makes no sense.
But well, he was just making a promotional video, though.
That's true. Yeah.
He had an ulterior motive.
Perkusizing.
Fucking Tony Perkus.
Feeling skinny, Uncle Tony.
Oh, that's another thing.
Lars.
Yeah, Lars.
Oh, we were talking about like how the fitness, like Tony Perkus, perkusizing people were like what were we saying the other day? Like,
well, I just thought like Lars, that character is supposed to be like a big guy.
Yeah.
And I sat at home and watched it the other day with my wife, and I was like, I think I remember thinking that guy was big, and he's just like
he has good posture. Yeah. Like walks with his arms like this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he probably has never lifted before. Yeah.
So if you want to look huge, you just have to have like solid posture.
Mm-hmm.
He's very upright.
A German actor, like
Was it supposed to be like a really weak play on Arnold? Was that what that
no,
was supposed to be?
No, he doesn't look anything like him. No. I mean, he's just.
I don't know.
Just
you can
European.
Tell that he was supposed to kind of be big and intimidating, but he just wasn't.
Actually. But it actually never even says where he's from They're like, Lars. Like, he introduces himself. Like, all the kids are laughing. They're like, oh, where are you from? And he's like, far away. Like, he never even says, like, where he's from. And then they put the honey on him when he's, like, tied up in the woods at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I love you. Like, he's trying to be their friends. So we've talked about heavyweights.
We're 8 minutes into our heavyweights conversation in this episode.
This is a good movie, though, still. It does carry.
Judd Apatow, I think it was actually his first movie that he directed. You might know him
from
The 40-Year-Old Virgin or some of other movies that he makes that are
Bridget Jones' Diary 2.
Yeah.
All those other Child's Play movies that are a half hour too long. Is that what you're going to say?
What's, yeah. What's Child's Play? Is that the babies that
Chucky.
Talk?
Okay. That's Baby
Jesus. Look who's talking. No, Look Who's Talking.
Oh, yeah.
Baby Look Who's Talking too.
No, I do like his movies. Funny People, that's a good one. That's one of those movies where people always say that it's way too long because it just drags on, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Movie stuff.
Movies.
This is dragged on too long.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, we've got, so basically, guys, we've got 50 more minutes. We're just going to talk about Westworld, and that's going to be it.
Well, I've never watched that.
Let's talk about it.
I want to say something else. Like, about a month or two ago, you guys were kind of talking about...
How you need to start
watching.
No,
Stranger
Things.
Oh,
yeah.
And now I've since watched Stranger Things.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to be at kind of like 2 or 3 months behind whatever's pretty cool.
Right. When I thought you were going to say that you just started watching like Breaking Bad or something like
no,
that.
No, I have seen Breaking Bad.
Right.
We can talk about that.
Right. When it finally becomes officially played out. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. Then it's like, oh, have you
seen this Tanner's show?
Gonna be like, guys, awesome.
Can we talk about that again?
We should do the mannequin challenge.
Yeah. Let's wait on that. Okay. Yeah, we want to wait till it's a little cooler, like a little more in.
But yeah, so I went to Mexico, and that was, I left like the morning, actually technically the night I finished the, we had a partner's CrossFit competition at our gym in town, which obviously I'm not physically like equipped for, if you're watching on video. You are. Like, I'm built like your average CrossFit fella.
Just like plus a foot and a half.
I'm like two. I'm yeah, like two. Couple. I'm like two.
Like CrossFitters. Literally, if you just stacked a couple on top of each other.
Yeah.
You
know, so like
put a trench coat on them. And
so I've already kind of like just barely.
Keep going. Sorry.
I just barely got through like a couple week long or like just kind of this back thing, and I was fucking, I think, getting pretty beat up from a long time of just going constantly. So I was like, I'm going to take it easy, get to this competition, survive it, and then just not do shit while I was in Mexico. Which going a week without doing anything is pretty unheard of for me. Really going more than 2 days off is pretty unheard of. So I feel fantastic. I don't know if all of the drinking that I did probably was in my best interest. Mm-hmm. But
are you going to work out tomorrow?
Yeah.
How do you think it's going to go? That's
going to suck, I think.
What are you going to do?
Do you think your body's going to feel fresh?
My body will feel fresh. I think my deadlifts and squats will probably feel okay. But when I get into some conditioning is where... I mean,
do you have some booze that'll sweat out for a couple days?
I usually have like 1 day of punishment. Like if I party on a Friday or Saturday night, my Monday fucking is just...
You still feeling me. It?
Yeah, like especially when you get... to some conditioning, like I have to pay for it on that day, and then I can move on. But a week, this will be a bad day, for sure. Because there was some days that I got drunk like 3 separate times, you know?
In 1 day.
Yeah, you know. So
after a while, it's hard to really be drunk. Like if you're on vacation,
it only takes
you just kind of always are drinking.
It only takes more booze, which is even more taxing on you. But it wasn't uncommon to have, like, you know, a couple Bloody Marys and a couple beers before we'd go to the beach by 10 a.m. And then maybe, like, 8 beers by 1 and then come back. And one of the days, our wives, both my buddy who went down with us, our wives decide to nap after lunch. So they go up, they go to the condo, they nap. Like, well, we'll just go down to the pool, which is in our complex there. And we'll just hang out at the pool while you guys nap. And they nap for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they come down to the pool when we're done. And we were completely fucking housed. Like, so they went to sleep, and
probably,
we were just
all the sun.
Yeah, I'm sure. But they weren't terribly impressed that we were like
wasted,
like not really all that able to crawl out of the pool.
You had too much fun. You had to wear a life jacket to be in the pool. That's how messed up you were.
That was real.
Tyler, get your wings on.
But
what do you drink for beer there?
It's awful. Dos Equis and Tecate, or Sol.
Yeah.
And do they have any American domestic beers?
You could get some American beer at the Walmart, but because it's imported, it's so much more expensive.
Worth it.
Yeah. Whereas you can get, I mean, the money thing was really confusing for me.
How about
me
Corona?
Too.
Is that?
I don't think that's very Mexican. Like, really? It's really not. It wasn't anywhere, any
Find
of the
your
places.
Beach. They're not finding their beach in Mexico.
That's just one of those things.
I think it's like a Texan Mexican beer.
Just one of those things that Americans decide is like, just like Taco Bell.
Like the Cancun airport has a huge Corona, like the tower is painted with the Corona logo. Hmm. But who knows how long that deal's been around. They also have like 4 jumbo jets that are 30 years old, rusted and bombed out, like sitting right next to the runway, like just looking
is
like
that what you flew on.
Looking fucking scary as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool place until you get too far off the beaten path. That's for
and
sure.
Then it's then you experience some
yeah we got things. We had to walk to the we went to a grocery store because the Walmart was we got a tip from a fellow traveler, like, you got to go to this. This is the local grocery store. It's big. It's really nice. Here's where it is. And we thought we were close to it, but I get all confused with kilometers and such. So we just started walking according to my GPS. Mm-hmm. And then it started getting dark. And, like, there's wild dogs and lots of them.
Yeah.
And so, like, one crazy dog tried to attack one of us. And it was, like, behind a cage or, like, in an alley where it was caged off, sort of. And,
those salamis you had. And you
I knew I shouldn't have smuggled all this American salami.
And then you guys got back to the hotel and you're like, chipmunks, download.
Get these salamis off my back.
But we found this place, so I bought, like, shit, 3 bottles of liquor, 2 cases of beer, shit for breakfast for, you know, a few days worth of breakfast. And I don't know, like, just kind of a lot of stuff. And it was like $30.
Nice.
You know, so.
30 American dollars? Or
30 American dollars. Okay.
Right. What's that in Canadian?
I think it's
currency?
Like, I don't know Canadian, but I think it's like 10,000 pesos.
Actually, the?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't, no. I mean, I really don't
it's
know.
Like, but... It's like 20 to 1 down there.
Okay. So, Tyler, you've recently gone north of the border. You've just gone south of the border.
What's next?
What other border could we
I am hopefully going to California in 2 weeks.
Okay.
I don't want to drop
that's
that.
That's in America.
I don't want to, not technically. Not for long, apparently.
Was there a wall yet?
There
was. I think it's up already. Okay. They're working on it.
Yeah. That'll happen overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did listen to a podcast that was, you know, I'm not political and I don't care about that, but just something I was thought was interesting. Like, they had like a masonry contractor, like a big... A guy that out of Texas that does really large jobs.
Yeah.
I think the longest wall he had built was still only like 5 miles long or something like that.
Yeah.
But he was working on estimates of what, like, you know,
what it would cost,
what it would actually cost to do it. And they really never did get to a final number because he was actually trying to work with future President Trump on, like,
maybe
he wants to get, like, be contracted and
the rest of his life.
Yeah, yeah. But it sounded insane, like, unfathomable amounts of money required to do that.
I think the only way it could cost more money is if you made the wall out of money. You know?
Yeah,
that cool. Might even save.
We're on to something.
So how about the CrossFit competition? Oh, that you did, though. What I mean, I was there. I went and checked it out. It was the first one of those I've seen in person, so I kind of know what you did, but these people listening might not know.
Yeah, it was cool. So the way we did it was, we're kind of a smaller gym, so it was basically like it was all partner. It was like partner workouts, because if you have an individual competition, you end up needing twice as many judges, and mm-hmm. you're running twice as many heats, and mm-hmm. so doing it partner is a little more fun, anyways, and actually made it more suitable for me because I need rest. So doing partner workouts, I can kind of like do my turn and suck, and my partner will be fresh and they go. And so it was pretty good. The stuff that was in my wheelhouse, we did pretty well at. You know, there was an assault bike and snatch workout. So that was, you know, we did pretty well in that one. And then there was a front squat, max front squat doubles workout. Yeah. So that was kind
of
our...
Did you win that?
We did win that.
Did you? That's good.
Yeah.
When Tyler goes on the assault bike, it's kind of like, oh man, what's he doing to that poor bike? Like, <it's, laughs> like at any time you could,
you
like could
just rip the handles.
I kind of picture, like, in a movie, the camera would shoot to like the shaky bolt on everything. The side that's about ready to come out, and then all of a sudden the whole thing like flies.
We actually just got those a few weeks ago too. Yeah. So when we were starting, like, Derek, before I got on it, Derek was like,
don't break it.
No, they're like retightening everything before they let me back on it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. Like, I don't know if maybe they just didn't use all the right tools when they put them together the first time. But
So
those things are meant to be like, if you're a big, strong guy, like the three of us would probably be better than most of the guys at our CrossFit gym at that type, at that's a sprinting that for calorie output. Thing. Yeah. To do like 20 calories for time being huge is like, because you can just put your mass and your strength into it. If I had to go more than that amount of time, then it's fucking over.
Very tired.
You know. Yeah. But
part of it, though, watching, I had the thought, like, yeah, I mean, you're bigger, but I was just like, just seems like he's trying harder.
They're just like, I'm like,
he's just,
I'm
better,
like,
he's because
I'm
at
like,
trying.
He's bigger, but I know those other people could move their arms faster than they are right.
Part
you know,
of
it's
it
like,
is maybe if you haven't experienced the difference between the two, and that's the key too. So like, I tell everybody like, that there's a drop off. Like if you're watching on the YouTubes, like. It doesn't go like this. The faster you go, it doesn't just translate into more calories in time like that.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a pretty gnarly curve. It scoops up really dramatically above about 75 or 80 RPMs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to go for the most amount of calories in, say, I don't know, a minute.
A sprint.
Say a minute.
Yeah.
As many calories you get in a minute. You're actually better off doing like 85 calories for 10 seconds and then slowing down to 50 calories. Get your shit together and then sprint, you know, doing that like maybe 1/10 of the time or 1/5 of the time sprinting and the rest kind of resting than you would be if you did like 70 RPMs the whole way.
Yeah.
So you want to be up in that red line if you're trying to put out calories. And so it is easier to do when you're huge, but for sure, you know, you're just moving something faster.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, because we've done some workouts and I've seen guys that are way, way, way fitter and have way better cardio and everything than I do. That there's things I can do in, like, after a certain point that I can do in 15 to 16 seconds that will take them, like, a minute and a half, you know? And that's a son of a bitch. When you're dying and you're dying on that
you
thing for a minute and a half,
time.
You're just better off to get fresh, kill yourself on it, recover afterwards, than just let it drain you for.
Yeah.
Forever. So.
And the way it works, like in that competition, the monitor on the bike, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it tells you calories burned and you're going once you hit the
and that doesn't really mean
anything,
but
that's
just
what
metric.
You're doing in the competition and there's no tenth of a calorie, it's
just
a full
a
calorie
single number,
so what
you don't really know, like,
well,
how
yeah
close you are.
Well, that's when I was watching people I could pick up on that was happening, because like you don't know when you're at 19.9, and then you can just kind of coast out.
And when you start to really suck air and just really drag ass, one calorie can take 5-6 seconds, which is a long time when you're suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So that bit becomes really bad. You're like, we're at 19. Oh, no. No. Whereas if I go as fast as I can, when I see 19, I stop. Because the work's already been put in, it'll give me that calorie by the time it winds back down.
Mm. So on the assault bike, did you go and then your partner went and you were done?
No, this one you actually had to do. Almost everything else we did was like you would go, then your partner would go, then you would go. This one I had to do all the work, and then my partner had to do all the work, and it was like 21 calories on the bike, 21. They were really, really light power snatches, and then 15 cal on the bike, 15 snatches, and then 9 and 9. But I had to pay my partner back by giving him a pretty good lead. Cause the workout before that was, we each had to run a half a mile with a 20-pound medicine ball,
boo,
which didn't sound as bad as it was.
Okay.
For something that's anybody can probably do if you have a 20-pound medicine ball, that's fucking terrible. That's and my partner is kind of a runner and he's pretty strong. So he smokes everybody. I get that ball with like 150-yard lead. And I was like, maybe I'm not going to totally fuck this up. And so I get going through and I get through the first lap.
So was it 400 meters down and 400 back?
It was sort of. It was basically two 400-meter laps.
Okay.
The way we do it, we have to go down and back with where we're at. So it's like a, you know, 200 one way, 200 back. But
I just wondered, because sometimes that's different meant like...
Yeah.
That lap, like how long the laps are.
The first lap, I was still in front of everybody. And then by the time I got to another 200 yards, I had been passed by the guy who ended up winning because he runs like a deer. And then in the last 200 yards, everybody passed me and I lost by about 100 yards. Like, I could not have shit the bed harder.
So did you make it about 600 pretty good, and then like the last 200 was terrible? Or?
You know, I made it about 300 really good, like at a respectable pace, and then I was fucking wrecked. You know, my legs, you couldn't even stand up anymore. And
I hate running. I just try to avoid it as much as possible. Do your knees just kill after you run?
They don't. My knees don't bug me, running at least. God, I'm fortunate in that.
It's terrible for me, like...
we had just done a workout that had like 150 deadlifts before that though, which so like my hamstrings didn't work right. So I was so like, I was like kind of like high knee in it and not knowing what to do with this fucking ball.
Yeah, where do you put it?
While one of you was deadlifting, the other had to hang from the bar.
Dead hang from the pull-up bar.
I would have just, if I was talking to someone else about it when I was
terrible.
There. Yeah, but you could divide it up however you wanted to.
Okay.
And if you dropped from the pull-up bar, you just could reset. But any reps that were going on during while you're down doesn't count.
Right. But if I was doing that, I would have been like, I'm going to do about like 90% of the deadlift reps. And you do the, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm not going to do much of the hanging here.
Yeah. And you see, with my back, I actually didn't feel that strong, and I sure couldn't. I don't even remember what we had to do before, but it was all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 200 wall balls and then a bunch of push-ups. And then, so I'm like heaving and breathing, and I was worried about my back. I didn't want to just, so we probably shared the deadlift load pretty evenly.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is you do these deadlifts, then you hang from the pull-up bar, you don't ever get your breath back. Because when you're hanging, what you're doing is just suffocating.
You're just tight, still
so
tight,
you're up there and you can't breathe because your throat's getting choked, at least when you're my size.
Yeah.
And so it was really just trying to get through 150 deadlifts while not blacking out because you can't breathe.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard on the grip, too, after a while. It's not really something I guess I even think about when deadlifting, but when you're hanging there.
I thought the grip was going to be the worst thing, but it was that you couldn't breathe while you were hanging there.
Was it the same weight the entire time for deadlift?
Yeah, it was like 205 or something.
Oh. Well,
but it's a lot. That's a lot to do.
That is a lot of reps.
That's a lot to do 75 of, yeah.
Yeah.
I always, every time I see something with that much volume, I'm like, you know, if I had to pick my shoes up off the floor 75 times, I'd do be any, pretty like, pissed off about it.
Do anything that many times.
Yeah.
Tire you up.
I mean, I certainly didn't get any fitter from that day, but it was kind of fun.
Which was your favorite event and which is your least favorite?
Well, my favorite was probably the front squat one. I wish because it was over quick.
Yeah,
and
I could double. When I watch, I'm like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah,
event.
No
That'd
kidding.
Be fun.
I was like, oh, it looks fun. Yeah.
The double dynamic was interesting because I never train a heavy double ever.
No,
you know,
no.
So I'm never like, that's kind of weird. You know, you smash something that you kind of you want to be up there. So, but if you barely get through one.
Not feeling very
You're like,
confident
it's
for the next
really
one.
Hard to drop down again. And that's what I did with the weight I ended up failing on. And I was trying to stay upright and not hurt myself. And I got down and it started moving, but I knew right away that there was no way two was happening. So I just dumped
got
it.
Got out of there.
Yeah.
Got out while the getting was good. So that was your favorite event?
I did like the assault bike.
What did you do for the double?
345 I got.
365 is the one that you did.
Oh, okay. Dumped, I did see that.
And I think I probably would have 365.
It's a lot different in the midst of a competition.
Yeah, when you
yeah,
I mean,
like that's the part lifts. I think I always forget. And I always wonder, like with like powerlifting meets, because you just
the meat
I,
doesn't,
I just
oh, it
assume,
makes a difference.
The meat just, doesn't start until the bar hits the ground.
Yeah,
that's spoken like a true deadlifter.
Yeah,
but that's. The truth, especially for some like top level guys in training, it depends on what type of person they are and how they handle programming. Some people that take a lot of singles and lift really heavy in training, when they come to a meet, it's common that they might not do quite as much because you're doing 9 lifts over the course of 8 hours.
Right. What about also the fact that they never squat, bench, and deadlift in the same session.
Right, exactly.
And that's what gets me with any time I do, and I'm not like I've done many, but anytime I do any sort of competition is that cumulative effect you always forget. So when you see like Brian Shaw at the Arnold lifting a 555-pound stone, that's pretty impressive on its own.
But he's done
But look at what he did for 2 days before that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, like, even like when we do our strongman competition, like at the end of that,
we complained about it for a week afterwards.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, and it was crazy to see how I think everybody performed so much better the day of when we were doing everything. Then it was like a weekend where we would train maybe two or three things.
Yeah,
like everybody just did so much better. And I think that's another thing with competition where you're like, well, I got to do this now, and I got to do the best I can because there's somebody watching, and like it kind of matters.
Yeah.
So you just there's a little
for
more
sure.
out there.
But by the last event, like we did at the Massonomic Strongman competition, was the Atlas Stones, and you know you could tell you know people were getting tired from the day's worth of events.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean I couldn't do fucking weight that I could do in practice. Right. You know?
That's right. What I was worried about. I'm like, well, I know I probably can't get the last one, but if I can get to the second to the last one, I don't think many other people are going to be able to.
Well, that's exactly what happened. And I couldn't even get to the third to the last one. Yeah.
And
I don't think.
You had done those easily.
Without tack.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily. Right.
Well, and I'd seen, a lot of other people get up to the second to last one, and then me and Tanner, we're the only ones that got the second to last
one. There's
like
three or four people that were
right
really
there.
Flirting with it. Yeah. But... I just
wiped all the water off the ones before it.
Yeah,
for you
thank
guys.
You.
That actually was a variable that we hadn't planned. You know, that you don't
for
plan
sure.
for is
you
the
don't
stones
live with
being
wet
soaking
stones.
Wet. Yeah.
Also,
it didn't make it easier. I'll
When I think back about that, like how fucking dangerous was that? Because we're on mats that are fucking rubber and slippery when they're wet.
Oh yeah, you fall, you slip, and
you
that
fall
thing lands
with a
on you,
fall
and
with a
break your neck, break your back, break something.
Fall with a 300-pound Atlas stone in your lap.
Yep.
Everything that is a little dangerous,
right?
Like well, in strongman stuff,
it's just
like
heavy
true.
And
it's
all,
I guess I just
it's not, over your head. It's on your body.
Like, you're carrying 500 pounds of weights that could land on someone's foot any given, you know.
Right,
I just picture a 300-pound Atlas stone mashing genitalia.
No, yeah.
Seems worse to me.
Yeah.
Great publicity, though, for the event. I mean, who wouldn't hear about that?
Guys, last year, this guy got his dick smashed
it
by an
literally
Atlas stone.
You are not going to want to miss this year.
What's going to happen this year?
I heard they're lighting the stones on fire this year.
Yeah, right. But, the whole training competition thing. I think it was Eric Lillibridge. He always does his, I don't know if it's just squatting or if it's everything, but he always times it.
Uh-huh.
So I think he does all of his sets or all of his singles with like 5 minutes or something in between each mm-hmm. rep or each set, just so it's similar to competition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
like when I see how guys will do so well in a competition, but then it's like, well, geez, I mean, I've seen them deadlift more than that.
Yeah, right.
It's because they probably didn't deadlift.
Yeah, and it's also never like the most that they could deadlift.
Right.
It's the most you can do
at that time,
on that day.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why, like, even like Pete Rubish, watch him like deadlift in the gym, and it's like, I think I've seen this guy hit like triples at the weight that he pulled in a meet.
He regularly does 50 pounds less in a meet than he does
at training or in training. Because like I've seen him deadlift. Like in the 900s, you know,
mm-hmm.
but then you think, okay, he's using straps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's using a deadlift bar, which for some people, they might be able to lift more without a deadlift bar, but it obviously helps him. But there's just so many variables that
mm-hmm.
you don't keep consistent when going from a meet to just training.
That deadlift bar thing, that's something I talked about with Tommy this week, you know, because we have an Oki deadlift bar, and then we also have some Texas power bars that don't have the whip, and
mm-hmm.
both he and I agreed that, personally, at least right now, we might lift better not on the deadlift bar than we do with
it. I think so.
Is that what they use in competition?
There's some meets. Some meets you do use a deadlift bar.
Like the APF meet that we've done, they use a deadlift bar. USAPL or IPF does not use a deadlift bar. They use a stiff bar. Most other federations mm-hmm. use a deadlift-specific bar.
So... is it that you can do less because of the slack? Like a little bit of is there a little bit of rebound?
I think some of it's just like what you're used to.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
I feel like, because I'll switch. Like I try not to use just the deadlift, but I'll switch mm-hmm. off and on. And I think it was 2 weeks ago when I was doing like my week 8 sets and it was like 480 or whatever. And I just remember getting it off the ground. I was like, oh, that's easy. And then it like... right there. It's like, oop, that's where it feels weird. And then it would just like pull me forward. Like I felt like so many of them I was getting to be on my toes.
Like you almost feel like you have the slack out
and then it whips a little bit and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But on the other hand, some people I know at our gym, they already much prefer the deadlift bar. You know, they feel like they can pull quite a bit more off of that than they can the regular bar. So that depends a little bit on your pulling style too.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends
on how leathery your hands are.
That's true. Because of the grip.
Oh yeah, that's bad.
But it it depends on how much you jerk versus how steady you pull too. I think mm-hmm. it makes a difference.
If you're like you go in there and you're just like trying to grip and rip it, I feel like it's really gonna throw you off.
Yeah.
Like you have to keep really tight in the bottom and then go up with it, not just get up there and just try to yank it, because then the whip is just going to get you on your toes, or you're just going to drop it.
Right.
Because you can't hold on to it.
And so, you know, so you're basically at the true start of the pull when it really kicks in. You're a little bit higher, obviously, on the deadlift bar because of that whip, because of the bend.
Right.
And I think, you know, if I pull off of like a 2-inch blocks, you know, if I have the weights sitting on 2-inch blocks, so it's an elevated lift, it's less range of motion, I actually can't pull quite as much as if I pull all the way from the ground.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes it, some people are
just
that way.
Sticking points.
Yeah,
maybe.
Right.
Yeah. That's why, like, I think even going back to the strongman thing, the car deadlift, like, I'm obviously not a better deadlifter than you. Like, you can deadlift more than I can, but, and there's plenty of people there that could probably deadlift more than me, but it's just, it's at a weird spot, because what was it right below? I think for me, it was, like, right below
just
my
below
knees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you can't start from there.
And I think being tall, you're probably not the strongest from the floor.
Okay,
you know, like,
yeah.
Like, you're probably not, most people aren't. But, like, your lockout's probably better mm-hmm. than it is way extended at the
right,
bottom.
Yeah.
I don't know. Being tall didn't fucking help me any.
Yeah. Oops.
But, yeah, that's a good point. You did do really well at that. And then that's another factor, too, where it's also, that was the fourth of five events, too. So there's, like, quite a bit of fatigue. So maybe, yeah, you know, if I could, in practice, I felt like I could have done more than what I did in mm-hmm. Competition, but after flipping that tire and doing a farmer's carry and going through the log so many times, it's a little harder, you know, than just being in perfect, like, just
like, okay, let's go.
Yeah,
like,
you're just yeah.
Like, oh god.
Yeah.
Exactly. I heard that we were canceling the tire for next year too. Is there?
I heard
the
tire just.
Truth
I heard it disappeared. I heard the tire's just gone.
Well, everything's probably gonna have to be a little bit bigger and.
God. Maybe we could have a tire rolling instead of a tire flipping. We'll just get it up and you just
roll
it.
Yeah. In one of the early years of World's Strongest Man, they did a tire toss.
Oh my
like
God.
A discus. I mean, it was like a...
Oh, just like a car tire.
Yeah, it was like a big car tire. It was almost maybe a small truck tire or something. But that's at the point of World's Strongest Man where they had a lot of contestants from different things. So a couple of the contestants were like hammer and discus throwers.
Yeah, track athletes.
So they have all this technique down, and maybe we'll do that, though. Do a tire toss.
I can't remember what year it was. You told me about it, and I couldn't believe like what you were telling me. The car flipping.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like...
That's the most... Speaking of dangerous, that is the most dangerous strongman event.
I watched that whole thing, and I couldn't believe how many people either had to quit because they got like...
pinned underneath the car.
Well, not even that. There was things... There was events before that where it was like their name was just like crossed off because they... It was like they died. Like they got hurt from something. Like I think... Oh, what was it? Like something fell off of something and it landed on one of the guys. And
yeah. I think that year Jukka Ahola is the guy that
the
won
guy
it.
From
so,
Finland.
Yeah, so it was probably in the 90s
okay.
sometime. And yeah, if you go... Like, by the final event, you know, they started with the typical 8 or 10 guys. There's, like, three or four guys that haven't been crossed off due to injury, like, just not surviving.
Well, that car, I couldn't believe, like, you flip in that car, and if it comes back on you, it's a car coming back on you. Like, it's not, there's no way to change
it. And they flipped it sideways, right? Like,
the easy way?
Yeah. But, so then, like, after the first guy got his leg caught under there and almost died... They started having spotters. They had kegs from other competition that they were standing on each end of the car, like ready to place the keg every time they got it halfway flipped up. But that was like that was such a difficult spotting responsibility that also wasn't working. So then
it was also just as dangerous. For
yeah,
the
it was just like
you
just put
three.
Let's
people put at
three
risk.
People under the car instead of just one.
Yeah,
I think that's you get a little bit too cute with the events.
Yeah,
and then. It gets fucking out of control.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore either.
I did see, though, because I thought it was a badass event to do for, like, the carry, where they completely gutted out this car and put, like, some lifting straps through
like
the inside.
In the car.
Yeah, you stand in the car.
Yeah,
they cut the top off.
Cool.
It looks really cool. I was like, oh, we should definitely do this, except they used...
A tiny car.
The smallest car that I could possibly imagine
and
existing.
And it's completely stripped.
And it's totally stripped. And I'm dead serious. I don't think there is a smaller car that exists.
No.
And there's this was like, I don't remember who was doing it. Was it Pujanowski?
Yeah, yeah.
That he was does doing look it. A few and years he doesn't old, yeah. look small or weak. and he no, is fucking just barely getting yeah. this thing along. And I was like, well.
A lot of the guys barely even take a couple steps.
Yeah, so there's, like, there's we nothing a, we could do.
We need events like that where people just can't even do them. Like everybody ties because nobody does it.
That, if we tried to do it, that event would definitely that be one would of be those. The event. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't figure. I was like, well, how much can that really still weigh?
That's but weird.
Apparently
yeah.
it's a lot.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't want to go through all the trouble of stripping out a car to find out that I can't lift it yeah. and neither can anyone else.
Right.
So I guess that's not going to be it, our new event.
So we're not doing that, I guess.
Probably not.
That seems reasonable.
Is this a good opportunity to...
Oh,
this is a new.
Okay.
This is kind of a new podcast segment.
Oh,
we did it last week, and I
brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Yes. Or Hardee's, depending on where you were.
Yeah, regionally speaking, yeah. it would be Hardee's here. anyway,
but I want it to be called "What's in Tanner's Sack."
Yeah,
because last week I brought my sack, and right. I last week it was
comes the, everywhere he goes. Yeah, you know?
It was
it's always with him.
Last week in my sack, I had Donnie Thompson's bow tie. By Spud Inc. And this week...
What's in your sack this week,
well,
Taylor?
Let's find out what I've got in my sack.
I kind of want to...
And you guys
know.
Are both familiar with what's in my sack here, but
oh,
I just wanted
oh,
to
we
talk,
know. Obviously. Yeah,
I just wanted
know.
To talk
we've seen
about
the,
it.
We've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
I just wanted you guys to see how it comes out.
And if you'd like to see what's in Tanner's sack, make sure you follow him on Snapchat.
actually, Ryan, what if you closed your eyes
okay, I love
and I just
already.
Put it in your hands and don't open sack? Your eyes and no, well,
oh, what's
I'll just put
sack?
The item
reach,
in
reach
your
into
hand.
The sack. Walt
Where
Tanner,
is it?
Just wait, I'll put oh. it in, and you try and tell me if you know what it is.
Okay,
just a second, I have to ruffle this bag into the microphone a little longer.
Okay, hold your
hands out
like this way.
What do you feel?
Oh, it's the yeah, it's the. Pull thing.
That's right.
Yep.
So you knew.
So what are these officially called?
What does it say on there?
Maximum Advantage Grip, made in USA, patent pending.
So the mag.
This is the, I think this yeah. is the only thing left that's made in America.
It's the last thing.
The
that
last
and
thing.
That and Freedom.
Yeah.
And Carl's Jr. Burgers, of course, our sponsor for the segment.
Sponsoring what's in Tanner's sack.
So
I actually just used that yesterday. I used those quite a bit.
I've never used the
Sean Arsaga got those, right?
Yep, yeah. Yep.
I've never used this small one because I only ever mess around with the wider grip for lat pull downs. Right. But Tanner, do you want to describe what they are to the people listening?
Yeah.
And that there's many of them. There's
describe
three,
what was
three
in
sizes.
Your sack, Tanner.
Tell us what was in your sack.
Well, in my
What's it feel like?
In my sack today, it's kind of like two nuts that just can...
this black thing that you just put
it,
your hands
it's,
around.
These are cable attachments that you would use. We use them on the pull-down machine pretty regularly. I suppose you could hook them up and do some other exercises.
I was doing
with.
Some rows.
Yeah.
Like rows
you
on
do
the crossover.
Rows. Yeah.
Me and Corey were doing them. Put the slide the
yeah
all the way down and then just stand up
do
and
it.
Do kind of like a,
okay.
something
like
similar to a barbell row.
Yeah, yeah.
But that with a neutral grip.
Yep. So what these do, I don't know technically how they describe what it is that these do. You almost have to use it to understand.
I would say it puts your grip into a natural grip. I would say that's.
And I think the one that I had used is the wider one for doing like pull downs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I find with that I always have trouble actually engaging my lats with
yeah.
pull downs. I'm kind of a shoulder and upper back guy,
uh-huh.
and I'll pull with my pecs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll curve my elbows in, and I'll almost still pull with like my shoulder, and there's no fucking way you can lift that way
mm-hmm.
with the mag grip. Like mm-hmm. you grab it and you pull, and I feel like you're just on this track where you're pulling like right into your
yep.
lats, and I never get that to that point where I'm weak and falling apart
no.
or anything. Everything stays tight.
When you can't go any longer, it's because your back. Muscles won't let you go any longer.
It's because the muscles you're supposed to be
yeah.
using are beat.
Yeah, when you use a normal, you know, a say a straight bar attachment and you grip it like you would,
like
I feel like
fist.
Once you
this
get
you can't make a fist.
No,
like
you don't make a fist.
Cannot.
And I feel like when you make when you get tired on a regular one, your wrists start to bend backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really, you feel it a lot like in your biceps or other parts of your body that you're not
shooting. Yeah, I feel like it's, because I feel like, I mean, if you flex your bicep, try to flex your bicep without making a fist. It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
It's at least less effective, that's for sure.
Right. So I feel like, yeah, just, you know, how this is set up, you cannot close your fist all the way. Mm-hmm. So it does force you to use muscles besides muscles in your arms.
So we have
there's a ton of these.
Yeah, we have three widths of them. Ours are all neutral grip, but they sell them.
They sell a pronate and a supinated.
Yeah, and we don't have either of those. All three of ours are all neutral grip, but
we have the medium, the wide, and the small. Right.
Yep.
Ooh, those are.
I think the wide only comes in.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
What we have.
Yeah, that would be. Do it this way.
Yeah.
The neutral grip.
But they're really, before you use them, you think that is just a gimmick, or that's like, what is even really the point of that? I already have a pull down attachment.
Right.
And then when you do use it, it's like, I guess
it makes sense.
Yeah, it does feel different.
You know, and for the wide grip, which is, I can only speak on because that's the one I use, but I mean, it's $75 is like, probably worth it to have at least the pull downs that I do become feeling effective, and I don't fucking hate them, which means I'll do them.
Yeah,
you know?
$75 is probably the most expensive pull down attachment that you can buy, but it's probably also the best one.
Right.
I would say too.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
What's the least you're gonna spend on one? $25,
probably.
So like that's I would say they're definitely worth it, and we've had them now for
a few weeks. I'd say a month.
Two weeks to a month.
And everyone that has used them is kind of like, oh, that's, I kind of like that.
Yeah. You know? I don't think I've used a regular just round bar.
Yeah, I won't anymore. No, until someone tells me I'm fucking doing something wrong.
Yeah, this just feels better. It just feels more natural.
It would be hard for someone to convince me not to use this just based off the way it feels in my back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels effective, at least.
So how do you give a rating, or are they just kind of like, the audience just kind of basis product off of how we talked about it?
Oh, I guess we could do like
informal
a rating system. I don't know if it's a star system.
Two sacks way up.
Yeah. A sack system. I give it two sacks.
Two sacks out of two.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would do the same. Yeah, that's good.
Why are there two separate
sack
sacks?
Way up? I don't know.
One sack away. I dig it. Like I said, I've never enjoyed doing lat pull downs. It seems like it's just not my jam. And they really make it something that seems to work for me. So it's what's the website they have? It's maxagrip.com. It's the mag, Maximum Advantage Grip. Do they make anything else, or is it just? It's
I don't
just
think
these.
So.
I think that's just.
It's not a real elaborate website or anything either. You're gonna.
No.
They have the products, and oh, they have reviews. Maybe ours will be on there one day.
Where's the reviews?
That's at the top.
Oh, boy. Another thing I want to start doing is...
a rugby player likes it.
Okay. High-performance coach, Australian rules football.
Big John McCarthy.
Never heard of
her.
He's
a UFC ref.
Oh.
He's actually probably kind of a badass.
Perfect for MMA fitness.
Eric the Trainer.
Oh, that guy looks pretty legit.
Do you know who that guy is?
That's Lars from
It does kind of look like him.
Like a guy that's supposed to be big.
The main monster.
Kelly Parks, Wyoming State bodybuilding champion. Great Western Plains heavyweight winner. Rocky Mountain heavyweight.
Is that a man or is that a woman?
Kelly Parks.
That could be, I don't know.
I'm going to go dude.
Okay. Wyoming body.
Statistically speaking, it's most likely.
Yeah.
We got physical therapy. Way too long. Way too long, Patrick.
Patrick.
A doctor.
McDougie.
There's a doctor.
Dr. McDougie. Oh, McDougal.
Oh, that's an I. I thought it was an L. Dr. McDougie. McDougal is still pretty funny, too.
Teach me how to McDougie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Arthritis, apparently.
Everybody loves this thing.
Everybody
That's
loves
the
it.
Main thing you can
At
away.
Least these
eight
seven,
people.
Eight people who you don't know like it. And us three people who you don't know like it. So
that's 11
us.
People you don't know.
That's
don't
11 like sacks.
Yeah.
So
11 sacks up.
Way up. Yeah.
Hey, what about, before we call it a day, we've got, I'm assuming this is the week that Tommy's deadlift article is going to be out. Is that correct?
That should be out and live for you to view right now.
Tommy, the DeFay with the most hair.
At least on his head. On his head, yeah.
I have a pretty hairy back, so.
Is that the title you take for sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
You know. Depends. It still depends on what you're into.
Some people like stuff like that.
So that's going to be on. That's gonna be on the website.
Yep.
I taught him everything he knows about deadlifting.
It is.
That's all of it, right?
Yeah.
It's an interview with me.
It's basically, I think, over about a 6 month period or so, how he got his one rep max deadlift to increase about 50 pounds or so, and it's actually.
I think it actually was a tighter timeline than that.
Yeah, maybe
but
it
we're
was.
Just being a little more reasonable with since he's writing it 6 months after. It's yeah, a good,
right. And it's actually gone up even more than this since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's his?
Well, speaking of that, this last week, if he was here, we'd probably talk about it. But he set PRs in all three of his lifts this week.
Yeah, I was there for the bench.
Yeah,
335.
Bench 335, which is most easy. Before that was maybe. 325 or 320.
Yeah, maybe it was 325. Yeah.
So he got about 10 or 15 pounds on that. Mm-hmm. And his deadlift
sets,
he did 475 for sets of five, which the most he had done before that is 455. And then squats, he did
420
for his sets of three.
Yep, 5x3.
Yeah, so basically all of his stuff is way up.
Which is pretty, and that's pretty big jumps and all of
that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So is this just like a steroid article?
I guess we'll find out.
Like, read it.
Ryan's been setting quite a few PRs, and then Nick in the gym set like a 35-pound squat PR.
Thick Nick.
Mm-hmm. Set like a 35 squat PR. So I'm saying steroids.
I would guess.
Yeah, like yeah. I don't know what the hell else could be doing.
No.
But yeah, so he kind of covers a handful of things. Do you want to go over a couple of things, or are we just going to defer everybody to the website?
Well, I would say check out the website. There,
for sure, because we got pictures, videos.
And I would say it's actually could be a helpful... If you are someone out there that wants your deadlift to be better than it is right now, it's actually probably a pretty helpful article.
Yeah.
There's a couple... there's no quick fix, one trick thing, but there's a few
things. If there was, we'd get more clicks on the article, yeah. That's for sure.
But there are...
Maybe that should be the title. Man finds one easy way to increase his
deadlift 50 pounds in 4 months. Yeah. But there is a couple actually good tips that he used that, you know, anecdotally really worked well for him, so... Mm-hmm.
Things that probably aren't best to be delivered via an audio only podcast.
No. Let's just talk about it and then nobody will read it. Yeah.
Well, no,
I'd like to read you guys this article verbatim. Audiobook. But no, so go to massonomics.com, click on it's going to be under the articles and videos tab, and that should be in the top couple there.
Yep.
Check it out. That'll also be on our Facebook page as well.
Yeah, like us on Facebook.
Are you not liking us on Facebook? Any of you?
If you haven't liked us on Facebook, it means that you don't like us on
Didn't
Facebook.
You just like us on Facebook with a
it was
couple
like,
months?
It was like within the year.
Yeah.
I think it was in 2016 I liked the page. And yeah. You said something to me. You're like, saw that you liked the page yesterday. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I just thought I did. Because so. Obviously I follow it or I'm friends with the page. I just like, oh, I'll like it. And I'm just like kind of late to the party, I guess. But whatever.
So, well... Anything else we got to get out today, guys?
I don't know.
This is usually where I say no.
This is where Tanner's got seven or eight things after he lets me start the wrap-up.
No, because I'm thinking hard if there is something. And right now I can honestly say there's nothing in my mind.
I think the key going forward is going to be to think hard before I ask the question.
Yeah.
Because when I ask the question, you start thinking hard and it's a pause, which means, and let's shut her down.
Yeah.
So
no, I can't think
anything
of anything
else happened this week that we got to cover while I was gone.
We had a pretty good turnout on Saturday at the gym. It was quite the little party.
That was a really weird thing.
It was like seven.
There's nine people
okay,
there.
Yeah.
Usually on Saturday you might find one of you know randomly when you go in. There's one or two other people.
Yeah, because I text you because Kevin wanted to go. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll go. Like whatever.
Was everybody's schedules during the week all fucked up?
No,
I think it's a winter thing. Like it's a snowy winter. Like I'll go to the gym now on Saturday.
Yeah, I got there. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm gonna do. And then Larry was deadlifting.
Thank God, there's always curls.
Right.
That's right. That's what you do when you don't know what else to do.
I did pause deadlifts, like right at the knee. I was like, I'll do these. Like I only went up to 315, did like a couple sets of that. I was like, I don't think I'm gonna get sore from this, but it's like something to do. So just random stuff.
Yeah, that anything I do on the weekends is I'll do like a bunch of conditioning or something on a Saturday. If I'm doing anything outside of my just going in to have a gym day, it is all just a pump sesh.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Make sure it's a sleeveless shirt day.
No shirt day.
No pants. No pants.
Every day is no shirt day.
Yeah.
So that'll do it for us today, you guys. Unless Tanner wants to cut me off midway through here with something
I almost feel like I'm letting myself down that I don't have something to interrupt it
do
with.
Do you have another
like,
sack we could maybe look at?
No, I just brought my one sack. But yeah, I'm going to try to. I might have already ran out of things on week two of the sack thing.
This weekly feature that we've been doing is.
But I'm gonna try and continue that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I like it.
Close your eyes and reach into my sack.
Tell me what you feel.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
That'll do it for us today. Thanks a lot for listening. If you're listening, make sure you go to YouTube and check it out. You can check out some of our older episodes on video there. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're watching, click subscribe. Facebook, like us on Facebook. What else we got? Go to iTunes.
Rate us.
Give us a rating. Stars.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to be rated.
That's the hardest thing to get you people to do is to rate us on iTunes.
Yeah. How many we got now?
I think like 15.
1,000?
100.
1,500.
Oh, one other thing.
Okay, here we go.
Just kidding. I watched Austin Powers today, if that matters.
Oh, I love that movie. Did you watch it with Larry?
That does not matter. That does not matter.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Those movies do not hold up.
Yes, they do.
I'm putting my foot down.
Three times. Damn it. The Will Ferrell character. He's trying to ask him. Oh, I can't stand to be asked a question three times.
By the way, before we do wrap up, did you see the party... The rest of the party episodes, did you watch them all?
I watched part one.
I watched part one, which I thought was wasn't too bad, and I watched part two today, which gets a little bit hairier than part one.
Is it when like we're all talking and then we start talking about weird like high school stuff?
It might be a little hard to follow.
So stupid.
That's good. That's good. So you can go back and check out the party cast episodes. Those are interesting.
They're there.
They certainly are there.
Our best work, you could say.
Yeah. So, but iTunes, YouTube, Facebook, that'll cover us. Go to the website, scroll to the bottom of the page. You can sign up for our newsletter. Go to the store while you're there. Click the big shop tab when you get there. Buy some stuff. It's all cool. It'll make you look cool.
Well, look at our friend there. He has a hat.
Yeah, Larry Legends. Larry Legends wearing the hat.
Human skull, by the way.
It's Larry's human skull.
Yeah.
Sorry, Larry.
But you can buy cool hats like that, skull not included.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll do it. I'm Tyler. You can find me on Instagram at Tyler Effin Stone. That's Tyler Effin Stone.
Oh, great job on the spelling. I'll try to.
What I don't want to do is have people be like, oh, he said Tyler Effin Stone. So they're like Tyler Fuck.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
Smart. Ryan, how can they get a hold of you?
You can find me on Instagram, flyingryan_D, FLYINRYAN_D.
Emphasis on the D.
The D.
And Tanner?
The Massonomics Instagram page, at Massonomics, MASSENOMICS, Massonomics.
Anywhere else?
Root of origin, English.
Can you use that in a sentence, please?
I love Massonomics so much that I buy a lot of shirts and hats from their website.
And certainly rated them on iTunes.
Yeah,
five stars. Anywhere else that they can find you, Tanner?
The Yellow Pages.
The Yellow Pages.
Yeah, my landline. You can call me on my landline phone. I do have a landline phone in my house, but it's not hooked up to
anything.
It's hooked up into the wall. I don't think you can call me on it. Oh, if you can, I don't know my number.
I'm going to get a hold of you on that thing.
All right, guys. That'll do it. Thanks a lot for listening. Stay strong.
You just heard the Massonomics podcast. With your ears, you're welcome. Check us out on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Massonomics, and make sure you visit Massonomics.com and buy some of that sweet Massonomics gear. from your friends at Massonomics Studio, home of the world's strongest podcast. Stay strong.